Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, we read this statement. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. This morning I want us to think of the judgment of the nations. That is, a time when Jesus judges a group of people or tribes of people, or I think even communities of people, on a particular kind of basis. In other words, we all know that God will judge all things, okay? You say, what will escape the judgment of God? And I can answer that question very quickly and very plainly. Nothing will escape the judgment of God. There's not anything hid that will not be brought to light. There's not anything that's been done in secret that will not be brought to the attention of all the universe. The Bible teaches us that God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. In other words, God is going to take a righteous standard and then He's going to judge the whole world by it. Okay? Not going to be judged according to the Constitution of the United States. Not going to judge according to the teachings of our sociologists today. He's going to judge it according to righteousness. Not what you think, not what I think, or not laws we've passed, or the social mores of a particular group of people. He will judge the world according to righteousness by that man. This is what Paul wrote or preached to the people on Mars Hill. He's going to judge the world by that man. You know who that man is? It's Jesus. In John 5, Jesus said, "The Father judgeth no man, but He's committed all judgment to the Son." Okay? So He's going to judge the world by that man. And the man is Jesus Christ. Now, the judgment day is appointed. Who's it appointed by? God Almighty. And the judge is ordained. Who is that ordained judge? Jesus Christ. All the world. That means all the saved people are going to be judged. Because we have been born again and we're God's children, that doesn't mean that all judgment is now set aside. A certain portion of judgment is, because we'll not be judged as unbelievers. We'll not be judged as those who are not His children. It puts us in a different category. That's all. It doesn't exempt us from judgment. It just puts us in the saved category. So all the saved will be judged by Jesus Christ. And what for? Well, the way we've lived our lives, according to righteousness. It'll be the standard. And the lost are going to be judged at the great white throne. They'll be judged by Jesus Christ. How? Well, according to the way they lived. And you say, well, I thought if you're going to hell, and then why have a judgment? In order to bring to light all the wickedness that's been done by you in your life and all the things that you have failed in. You say, well, you mean after that judgment I still be cast into hell? Absolutely. But there will be a judgment. All things, the world will be judged. The world systems will be judged. There will not be a thing that will escape the judgment of God Almighty. Now, we're looking at this morning a particular judgment that Jesus spoke of to His disciples. And remember that all this still has to do with some questions that were asked in verse 3 of chapter 24. Good long ways back. These questions were, tell us when shall these things be, what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world. And see, we're still studying the answer to those questions that these disciples asked Jesus. Now, Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory. Now, we're looking at a specific and a very particular time in history or in the existence of man. It is when Jesus comes again. And Jesus spoke parables about this in Matthew chapter 13. In verse 47, he talks about this particular time when he talks about a net being cast. If you want to look at that, it just says that, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a casting a net and gathering the good into vessel, into the sea and gathering of every kind. And what he's saying is, you know, the kingdom of God's like a net, and you throw it out in the sea, and then you start pulling it towards you, and you just gather all kinds of fish, and you pick the good fish up and do away with them, take the good fish and the bad fish and do away with them, the good fish, and you keep them. And then he speaks the parable of the tares, where there is at the end of the world, and that's what he tells, a separation of the tares and the wheat. So we've got parables that teach us about this judgment of all things when the good are separated from the bad. But see, that's not salvation. When the good people discovered as being good and the bad people are discovered as being bad. What we're talking about now is institutions and nations and systems and circumstances and governments, and all these things are ultimately judged by Almighty God. You know, I think you can even say, and I think it would be the truth, that school systems, okay, governments, agencies, you think about it, the postal service may be judged by God Almighty, but He won't use it in millennial reign. We got to have a better deal than that, okay? But everything is going to be scrutinized by Almighty God. And if you really want to speak about the robber barons who have literally raped the land, the earth that we live on, I think there'll be a judgment for that. I literally think that we ought to be good stewards of our earth, okay? And that those people who have just plowed it up and used it for no purpose other than to make money and left it soiled and ruined, I think there's a judgment of that. I don't think you can do wrong and get by. Even saved people can't do wrong and get by. So there is going to be a judgment. Now, the time of the judgment is when Jesus comes back to this earth. So the things that He judges people for are the things that have been going on this earth at least for a short period of time. Now, I think that this judgment of nations has to do with the nations that are in existence at the time that He comes back. I think also that it may have to do with the nations that existed at the time that He was here on earth, and the disciples to whom He's speaking were living here on this earth. I'd say the first 50, 60 years of the earth as Jesus is after He went back to heaven. I'd say that it could apply from the time that Jesus lived on earth until the destruction of Jerusalem. It can apply from the time that Jesus, a few years just prior to His coming. Because what? It's going to be how nations treat the Jewish people or Christian people. Okay, it's the Jews as a nation and Christians as a group. Okay, that's how these nations are going to be judged. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, and this is His appearing. The angels then will begin their gathering out. The net is brought to shore, and the tares are gathered from the field. Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Here the throne is thronos, which means a high seat. There are two words that are translated thrown in our New Testament, and they are thronos and bima. One of them means a high throne where the king sits. The bima was a seat to observe the Olympic Games so that you were judging the people who were going to be rewarded. The throne is where Jesus will sit and judge the nations. The throne is where he will sit and judge the lost. He will sit on a bima seat and judge the saved as to their rewards and not as to their destination. Okay? Now, the subjects of the judgment. And before him shall be gathered all nations. The word gathered means to lead together. It has the idea that we're talking about this afternoon when I, as a leader, would lead us all to meet at a place. So we're talking about all the nations are led together. There is a gathering, a mass gathering of the inhabitants of this earth. And the word that's translated nations is ethnos. We get the word ethnic from it. And it means people. It can mean a multitude of people, but it means a people who have a common bond. It might be color of their skin. It might be the cultural things they do. For instance, in Bosnia now, the Muslims and the Serbs and all these people, they're exactly the same color. They're white people like we are, but they've got a cultural difference that is so intense that it is ethnic, okay? So ethnic doesn't always have to do with the color of a skin. So it can mean a tribe of people. It could mean a community of people even. But it always has in the idea of a multitude. And the Jews were the Israel or Jewish people, and then everybody else was considered ethnic. The Jews were not considered to themselves ethnic. They were considered God's people and everybody else was ethnic, okay? Now we look at the Jews and we say they're a distinct ethnic group. So all of the people are brought before God in this great judgment. Now, these nations that exist at this time are the ones who existed at the time of His coming and not necessarily the nations who have been in power down through the ages. He said, well, Germany mistreated the Jews. You think that they'll be judged for that? Well, Germans certainly will. I know people think that sometimes we're talking about judging nations here and that in the millennial, the flags of the good nations will be displayed in Jerusalem. And that's just supposition and thinking that doesn't have any ground in the Word of God, okay? Because nations change. America has changed from what it was 200 years ago. And so you can't say that this is that America's going to be there and the role she is now is the savior of the world. You know, forget all that stuff, okay? All we're talking about is groups of people and how they reacted to God's people in time of persecution, okay? Now, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And let's look at the purpose of it in verse 32. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Now, what is the purpose of this judgment? It is to divide and separate. You know, everybody's talking today about being together and unity and unification and we don't need to be divided and we don't need to be separated. Well, that's true in a lot of things. But the idea that division and separation are contrary to the nature and will of God is an absurdity. Separation and division is as much a part of God's character as love. Because God has to separate the sheep from the goats. And if God kept the sheep and the goats together, it'd be contrary to love. Because you love your children, and you want to keep them separate from the trash of this world, don't you? You want to keep them safe, don't you? You want to separate your family. You want to separate your loved ones from the murderers and the whoremongers and adulterers of this world, don't you? I do. We ought to keep the church ought to be separate and divided and set apart. Should it not? So the idea is that now Jesus has come and he's sitting on a throne. I don't know where it's located, maybe Jerusalem, but he's sitting on a throne and he's got all of the tribes, nations, and communities and people of the world together, and he's going to bring them together, not for the purpose of unifying them. The Antichrist has just done that. See, the Antichrist unifies no matter what the differences are, but Christ separates and divides. The word separate means to set off by bounds. It's just to meets and bounds, okay? To set boundaries like fence rows or whatever you would use. He will then separate, set off by a boundary, and he will divide. It's the same word, set off by a boundary, and make distinct differences in what? Well, just like a shepherd puts the sheep in one fold and puts the goats in another area, that's the way that this is going to occur. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. This is for the purpose of judgment. That's not where they're going to be forever, okay? This is just all of the sheep get on this side, okay? And all the goats get on that side. Now, we're not going to live eternally with the sheep on this side and the goats on this side. This is just for the purpose of passing sentence, okay? That's all it's for. I'm going to put all the sheep on the right side. Now, don't y'all move now. And all the goats on the left side. And it's just for the purpose of evidently a very brief explanation, okay? And for the receiving of a sentence. It's not to talk this thing out, okay? We're not going to have a meeting and we'll get everybody over here and everybody over here and talk this thing out and come to conclusion. Conclusions have already been come to. The judgment has already been made, okay? Now we're just separating and we're passing sentence. Now, he shall set the sheep on his right hand and goats on the left. The sheep will inherit the kingdom. Notice verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Now the kingdom is right there. It's ready to inherit. So this is the beginning of the millennial reign. See, he's come as king. He's going to make his judgment. He's got the people there and he's going to say, y'all can come right on in and inherit the kingdom of God. It's not talking about salvation. Now we're not talking about people, I'm going to save you. Now we're talking about who's going to inherit the kingdom of God. Who's going to be on the earth? Well, certainly as part of his kingdom. That's what we're talking about here. Prepared, made ready from the foundation of the world. That is from the establishing of the cosmos. From the time when God spoke and this orbit was brought into being, God has planned to have on this earth a nation of people that will obey him and live according to his laws. It's never happened. Israel didn't do it, but God's church will be the executors of the kingdom of God in the millennial reign. If you want to be rewarded, you're not going to be rewarded in this life to the fullest extent. You may get some blessings, and we all have them, but the reward for faithful service to God will be after judgment. Not this judgment, but after another judgment, when the saved are judged. We got a number of judgments that are going to occur. Right now, we got sheep, and we got goats. And the Bible tells us that the righteous, the sheep, they're going to go in, and they're going to be a part of this kingdom. Now, you'll notice something happens when this announcement is made. And it is the reaction of the people at this particular time. Notice what happens. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Now notice, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsted, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Do you notice there is a perplexity here? These people are saying, look, we didn't see you. We don't remember doing this. These are honest people. They're saying, we don't remember when this happened, Lord. When could this have occurred? When did we see you naked and give you something to wear? When did we see you thirsty, Lord, and give you something to drink? When were you in jail? I don't remember you being in jail and me coming to see you. I don't recall that. How could this be? They're very perplexed at the pronouncement here. And the idea that they're entering in, and he said, this is a puzzle. Well, notice what Jesus said. I was hungry, and you gave me meat. That's what happened. But they're saying, when did this? Well, notice the answer of Jesus in verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Now there's the explanation. When did you do this? Well, you didn't do it to me personally, explicitly, but you did it when you helped one of my believers, when you helped one of my people. It may be the Jews as a nation. It may be Christians as individuals, or it may be the church as an institution, because the church is the body of Christ, isn't it? And the Jews have always had the blessing of God upon them, and they still do, in spite of all the things they're doing now, because the Abrahamic promise will be kept by God, and it's not based on whether they're good or not, it's based on whether God will keep His promise or not. And going to heaven is not based on whether I do good or not, it's based on whether God will keep His promise or not. And if God can't lie, then I'm not going to go to hell, okay? That's what my salvation is based upon. It's upon a guarantee of God's word being truthful. Not upon me being good, because I can't keep my soul. But God can keep my soul through Jesus Christ. Now, the least of these, the word that's translated least is not the word we get microscope from. It's another word, and it means the least in magnitude, number, quality. So really what he's talking about to the inferior ones to him. Okay? Who's that? Well, it's all the people who are saved. In it, you did it to this person. He's mine. I'm his Savior, but he's still inferior to me. Now, what's it based on? How a nation, a community, a group of people treated God's people under extreme circumstances, okay? We know that according to the book of Revelation, that there will be a time just before Jesus comes when some of His people, whether it's the church or Israel or what, will be required to have the mark of the beast, right? And if you don't have the mark of the beast, what happens? You can't buy or you can't sell, right? So that means you're just cast out here in the world on the compassion and the concern of people who live in the world. So it could be that that's what we're talking about here. These are the people who had the mark of the beast, who would not receive the mark of the beast, rather. And as such, they couldn't go to the grocery store and buy anything, so they're left to the compassion of their neighbors. Now, some neighbors, some neighborhoods, some areas would feed them, some wouldn't. And this judgment is about how the world treats God's people. Okay? Here's a community that makes it difficult for God's people. They're going to be judged. Here's a nation that has a flag that makes it difficult for God's people. They're going to be judged. I tell you quite frankly, I believe that if City of Bryant had turned on us to persecute us and drive us out, the City of Bryant would be judged by Almighty God, okay? Same thing Benton, same thing Little Rock, okay? It's a judgment of governments and times and circumstances who have done God's people and put them in jail, deprived them of the things that they needed. Now, let's talk about the goats. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now that's the sentence. As we look at that, the word depart means to cause, to pass over by land or water, to transport oneself. And what it literally means is you make a journey, okay? Doesn't mean just step over there a few feet. It means you people are going to take a journey. I can tell you where it's going to be, too. It doesn't mean, you know, this is just you people going to move over a couple of inches. It means you take a journey. You are going to be travelers. The word cursed means to wish or pray against anyone, to wish evil to put a curse upon. So Jesus says these are cursed people. What do we mean? It means that God has rejected them, okay? They're under the curse of Almighty God. He didn't just call them a bad name. God has so decreed that these people will have evil occur in their lives. Now, these people are also, look what Jesus does. He lays out exactly the same thing, doesn't he? And they say in verse 43, verse 42, I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered? Well, I don't ever remember seeing you. I mean, I'd heard about Jesus, but hey, all I did was I denied this family the things they needed because they're a bunch of fanatics. And I didn't want them messing up my place because they're always praying or they just sort of upset everybody by the way they lived. And I just said, no, you can't rent here. You can't live here. Well, yeah, I had this bunch of people. And it's the world looking at Christian people as the off-scouring, the scum, the boot scrapings of the world, okay? But especially it has to do with governments that set up a process by which God's people are excluded from life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, it really bothers me that the United States seems to be changing what it emphasizes. You know, listen to me, and I don't have long to dwell on this. I could for a while. But who is getting the attention, the care, the concern, and who are the objects of our federal system right now? The criminals and the crooks and the homosexuals and the disruptive, the Farrakhan. Look what our government treated him so nice, did they not, in the nation's capital. But if we as a group of people left here to go to Washington, D.C., they would arrest us for cluttering up the street. You believe that? I believe they would. I think America's changed, where we're more interested in protecting the rights of the perverted and the ungodly and the wicked than we are in rewarding the hard-working, righteous, God-fearing folk that have built this nation, okay? And I think that whoever's involved in it's going to be judged of God too, okay? Now, they said, well, we didn't know we did that. We weren't aware you were walking around on earth, Jesus, and we didn't, I wouldn't have treated you that way. Yeah, but you treated my children that way. You know, you're going to get upset the way people treat your children, you know. Might as well do it to you, hadn't they? As do it to your children. Don't you feel that way? Say, well, you can slap my little girls around, but don't hit me. No, you don't feel that way, do you? You better not touch them girls. Now, me and you might get by, but if you hurt one of my girls, you're going to be in trouble, right? Well, you hurt one of God's people. What do you think he thinks? You won't give him food to eat. You won't give him a safe place to live. Deny him all these things. You think God's sitting up there and says, well, that don't make me any difference. Be all right with me. They can't get up here in heaven and get me. You think God don't care about His children? He loves His children as much as we love our children, and to a far greater degree, okay? So when you treat God's children bad, you incur the wrath and anger of God Almighty. He's just an old Christian man. Somebody grabbed his, shoved him down, took his billfold away from him. An old gray-haired Christian man. He didn't fight back. Who cares? I'm going to tell you who cares. God cares. And that gray-haired woman on the way to the grocery store had her purse snatched by a bunch of thugs. You say, well, who cares? I'll tell you what, if she's one of God's children, God cares. And God sees it. So what we're looking at here is the way God's people are treated. Now, then shall He answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Okay? Now we get the sentence. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. What's that mean? Everlasting? What's punishment mean? Well, you know the word punishment comes from a word that means to prune. Just to cut a limb off. And that had in it the idea of suffering, but you know what it means? Eternal what? Separation. We just prune you folk out. And what do you do with the limbs you prune? Burn them, absolutely. So what's the Lord saying? What we're going to do? Get ready to travel. Depart. Get ready to go on a journey. Because I'm going to take the loppers. I'm going to cut you off right now. I'm going to pile you people up. I'm going to bind and burn the bundles of the tares, okay? You are going to receive now what you deserve as people who have done this to God's people. It's hell, that's what it is. Now, what about the sheep? But the righteous to life eternal. Now, that's not just being saved. It means that now we live with God as His people, starting here in this kingdom that will begin right after this judgment for 1,000 years, and then in the new heaven and the new earth forever and forever. So when you remember what Jesus said in the Beatitudes, that when people mistreat you and are really, really rough on you because you're a Christian, what did Jesus say? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. You know why? Because God is marking it up to your account. And then it's going to pay off big time at this time in life.